welcome once again to the OC Spotlight, the segment where we take a look at the most amazing people doing the most incredible things right here in our own backyard. And we often highlight events or things that are coming through the county here, and this one is no different. Today, we're privileged to talk about something that's coming to the Bowers Museum. I hope you've been to the Bowers Museum over in Santa Ana there. I should give a plug for the address. I'll find the address in a moment here. But it's really, really a cool place, and they have incredible exhibits that come through and stay for a while. I've been there for the Remington exhibit. My dad was a big lover of Frederick Remington and those horse sculptures and stuff that he did. And I've just seen all sorts of cool things there throughout the years. And there's one coming up that we thought was just too cool that we had to talk about. And it's this. Let me get up the press release here so I make sure I read it right. The nationally recognized Mummies of the World exhibition will make its debut at the Bowers Museum. I think it's the first time it's ever been here in Orange County. It's actually came March 19th, so it's there right now. We're taping this April 1st. For those of you who hear it later as a podcast, hopefully it'll still be around when you catch this. But the exhibition features more than 150 artifacts, real human and animal mummies from across the globe and across multiple eras. Over 1.5 million people have visited Mummies of the World as it's traveled around the world. And we're privileged to have it here in Orange County at the Bowers Museum. And for those of you that I mentioned, the museum's at 2002 North Main Street. 2002 North Main Street, right there in Santa Ana. Really cool place, fun place to visit. And this carries on that tradition of incredible stuff that they bring through here. And so today, our spotlight is with a spokesperson for that traveling exhibition, James Shenandoah. Welcome, James.
Hi.
Did I say your name correctly here? Did I get
it
right? All right. You are a mummy specialist that received your PhD from the Biological Sciences Department at North Dakota State University, located up in cold, frozen Fargo, North Dakota. I was born in Minneapolis, so I'm somewhat familiar with that area up there.
Yep.
And currently you teach what at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse? What do you teach?
I teach human anatomy and physiology, and then I coordinate their human cadaver labs for that program.
How did you get hooked up with the Mummies of the World exhibition? What do you do for them?
I was fortunate enough to start doing research on mummies in my graduate studies at North Dakota State, and then through my advisor, I got hooked into doing work with the Mummies of the World exhibit, only because some of the mummies that I did my research on were included in that exhibit.
Okay.
I mainly target using CT scans to look at the anatomy of the mummy.
What's underneath, right and inside.
Determine things such as how they died, if you can see that, how old they were when they died, potentially male, female, if we don't know that, from external structures.
Right. And I guess they can tell by the bone. Usually they can tell by the bones and whatnot if it's a male
correct.
Or female.
So right. I deal with a lot of the osteology, but if there's enough internal organs that are preserved, I can potentially look at and make some more predictions than I normally would with just the bones. But
and other than it being incredibly cool, why should we care how somebody died 200 or 2,000 or whatever years ago? What does this teach us today? What do we learn from this?
It has a lot of implications about the culture. So a lot of these individuals that were mummified, and a lot of them were mummified by chance. It wasn't something that the culture...
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. Everybody pictures the Egyptian mummies wrapped in cloth, but we'll talk about that, how people get mummified.
And so you can learn about how they lived, and it actually ties to today, and then the fact that these individuals in prehistory had similar motivations that we do today. It's a different context, but, I mean, they still dealt with disease. They dealt with injury, and so we can see that on those bodies, and we can kind of see how this person lived.
And it's my understanding, too, that if you can tell that, then you get some understanding of how they live. For example, if there are a lot of mummies that are mauled to death by an animal, then you know they were living in close proximity to animals. Or can you get so specific and know, you know, what they died from, or how maybe you get some idea that
you can. If you get good enough preservation, you can see how they died. There's a child mummy from Peru that's not part of the exhibit, but the heart was preserved so well that you could see that the child died of a heart defect. So that some of that stuff that can give you some information. The Vach mummies, which are part of the exhibit, were known to die of tuberculosis. And so now they're doing research on that tuberculosis you can actually extract from the lungs of these individuals, and they're looking at how this disease or this bacteria has changed throughout time to today. And so it has, some of these mummies do have implications in modern medicine.
So they might teach us more about how those people lived and maybe even how we're living today here.
Yep.
All that from these ancient records that get preserved. How did these mummies get preserved? We think of the Egyptians who, for, I guess, religious reasons, felt that they needed to preserve the bodies and figured out how to do this and wrap them up. But mummification is what? It's just the preservation of a body over a long period of time?
It's essentially not a period of time. It's the fact that the soft tissue or the non-skeleton stays intact. And so as long as you can limit the amount of oxygen and water that the bacteria use to cause decomposition, if you can limit that, the bacteria can't function, and so you can essentially preserve the body. So we do this a lot with our meats, right? We freeze those in the freezer, so
makes
you can
sense.
Limit that bacteria from actually functioning to decompose that meat.
So would that be the normal way these bodies get preserved, is through cold? I know they found a Cro-Magnon caveman type of person in somewhere up in Antarctica or someplace. I don't know. They found.
Yeah, and with the glaciers melting now, they're finding people that have fallen in glaciers.
Yeah, right.
Becoming mummified, that kind of thing. That's one way it happens. The other way is extreme heat. So if you remove the moisture, bacteria can't decompose the body. So then you get preservation through heat.
So if you died in a desert, for example, in a very arid environment, okay.
And then we have crypt mummies from Europe that are in very dry, that have a lot of good ventilation crypts that preserve the body. And there's a couple of crypt mummies in the Mummies of the World exhibit.
Yeah, talk about this one. Some guy from Hungary or something. Did I read the press right?
There's a family from Hungary that they were discovered in a church in Vach, Hungary. They were doing renovations. They broke through a wall, which broke into an old crypt that was sealed off. And inside the crypt, they had 200 plus individuals that were mummified due to the conditions of the crypt.
Unbelievable.
And so all these individuals, a lot of them died of tuberculosis, and now they're doing research on that tuberculosis.
And another one, Baron von Holtz, a German nobleman found tucked away in the family crypt in a 14th century castle.
Yep,
and he still had his leather boots on.
Breakfast. It's now a bed and breakfast, which is kind of unique. And what's cool about that, what's neat about that family is that we know the descendants. So there's the person that owns that bed and breakfast is living descendants.
Oh, so you can do a DNA sample now. And can you pull DNA out of any of these things? And is
it? You can. It depends. Ancient DNA is different than the DNA we think about when you look at some of these crime shows. It's harder to get good results from those, but if you can, it gives you a lot of insight. And they've tried DNA on the Baron von Holtz family, the Krausheim family, because there's the two individuals in this exhibit both have an extra vertebra in their spine.
Really? Okay.
Which is genetically rare if you look across entire world population.
Yeah.
So to have it in one family is kind of unique, and so they were trying to do some genetics to see how people were related in that family. But those mummies are unique because they weren't embalmed when they were laid in the crypt, and so you got this preservation that was just by sheer chance.
So how did the Egyptians, they actually embalmed these people. What did they do? They drained the fluids, and I don't really know what happens in embalming then or now.
So Egyptians, they had like a long 3-month process where they would essentially take natron, which is a type of salt mixture, and they would cover that in the body to slowly pull out the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you pull out the moisture of these bodies, the bacteria can't decompose the body, and so slowly it would start to dry out through time. And so,
which gives them that shriveled up prune-like look to it.
And then once essentially you get them dried out, they wrapped them in resin-soaked linen, which then again helped with some of that preservation. They also used the sarcophagus were made out of cedar, which were thought to help then protect the body from decomposition as well. And some of the coffins or the botched mummies were found in also were made up of a wood that was kind of protecting them from decomposition.
Because the wood, what, absorbs moisture or something? Or just blocks out the air?
Sometimes it repels insects, because insects play a role in some of that decomposition.
That makes sense.
If you can repel the insects, you can essentially stop decomposition.
Yeah, like if you put cedar in your closet, it's supposed to keep moths away or whatever.
Yep, correct. Yep.
All right, so now the Egyptians were famous for not just mummifying people, but they also mummified animals. Talk about that. And is any of that in the exhibition?
Yeah, they have a couple animal mummies. They have a falcon and a cat. Those are which are wrapped, so you can't really see the animal. The reason they mummified cats is was so they were companions for the individuals that died in the afterlife.
Cross over the river and
the cats are pretty revered, and so this was a big economic thing too for Egypt, because
they're revered at my house too. I don't know why, but
in Egypt they had cat farms, so they actually became a business. So you'd have a cat farm, you'd then kill these cats, mummify them, and then you would people would purchase them for their
God, a cat for the journey here. Okay,
yep.
Wow,
yep.
How crazy is that? How many mummies did we... I was told at one time that they were finding so many mummies when they started discovering these in, the 1800s and opening up some of these things. I don't know when I guess they were always finding them, but there was a real search to open up a lot of the Egyptian tombs, and they started raiding them and whatnot. And there were so many of them that they used to just, burn them as firewood or something in Egypt.
It started with Napoleon's movement down to that area where they started discovering
them. So it would be the 1700s, yeah. I guess that'd be the early 1800s, yeah, right.
And so when they started discovering these mummies, they started using them for fuel.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Medicinal purposes. Victorian England, they would grind up mummies and take them as medicinal purposes.
Oh, my God.
There were some properties in there that would help cure sicknesses. In England, they had... if the wealthy would have mummy unwrapping parties, so they would be able to, they would purchase the mummy.
Mummy unwrapping party. There you go. Come on over. We're going to open up a couple of bottles of champagne and some mummies here.
So they'd bring the mummy in, they'd unwrap it, and then if there's any amulets or cultural items in that body, they would hand them out as party gifts. And so
party
it became
gifts.
This mummy mania, if you want to call it, that people just were enthralled with Egyptian mummies.
So they must have just lost tons and tons of mummies doing this, burning them, throwing them away, doing what? And when did they start preserving them and saving them and saying, this is an important record here?
It became an issue of cultural aspects. So when Egyptians mummify the body, it's so that body can be used in the afterlife. And so essentially, if you destroy that body, it destroys the body for that individual in the afterlife.
There you go.
So culturally, we started looking at how we were actually doing research on mummies as well. So they typically used to do autopsies. So they'd unwrap the mummy, do an autopsy to figure out what they could learn from the individual. Well, now what we can actually do is we can just run the entire sarcophagus, the wrapped mummy, through a CT scan, and we can see much of what we would see with an autopsy. And so now we're preserving this individual for their cultural implications or why they were being mummified. And so it's more respectful. It's putting the culture on the forefront than putting it on, than ignoring that aspect of it, which is an important aspect, because a lot of these individuals didn't want to be unwrapped.
Yeah, so right. That was the whole point, right?
Very important.
So if you want to respect their culture and you don't want to ruin this record for all of time here about who they were and the society they lived in and what they ate and how they died and how tall they were and whatever else you can discern from this and learn about people living at those times. If you don't want to throw that away, then why mutilate the mummy here? Yep. Why take it all apart? Which leads to the last point I wanted to get in here. You guys are going to do, I don't think you are, but some of the other people with this Mummies of the World exhibition, this coming Monday, April 4th at 4:30, Physicians Seek Answers Using 3D Radiology and CT Scans. They're going to take a mother and child. This is somebody that's, I think, a couple hundred years old that died with their child, and they're going to do what? They're going to do a virtual autopsy.
So what they're going to do is they're going to scan the bodies, and from that scan, we can take that data and we can virtually segment out the anatomy. And so then we can do some analyses to figure out how they died, how old they were. The particular mummies that are being scanned, we have death records for those ones. These ones are from Vach, Hungary. Mm-hmm. And so we know essentially how old they were when they died, what their occupation was, who they're related to. We're more interested in looking at potential pathologies that were present in the body.
Now, they're going to do this at the Orange County Global Medical Center. Is this open to the public or just the press, or who can?
That I'm not sure. It's probably that I'm not sure how they're going to handle that at that time.
Right.
I guess it depends on
how many people want to come, or
who's doing the scan.
And what would we see? Is there anything to see while they're doing this, or is it just later on they report what they see? I can't imagine they put it through a giant CT scanner here, like you have at an emergency room, and.
Yep.
And I can't believe there's much going on. What else did they do? Did they try and discern anything from the outside appearance, or do they take any samples, or what else do they do? Just run it through the scanner and then try and read it?
Sampling's very minimal. Once you run it through the scan, you have to take that data and you have to go in and you have to analyze it. And so it's going slice by slice of that CT scanner and looking at, is there anything that looks like it's pathological that could potentially have led to death? I think they're more interested with Veronica to see for sure if she's got tuberculosis present in her lungs. It's thought that she had died of tuberculosis. Johannes, her son, who hasn't been scanned before, the same thing, to look at the internal anatomy there. Because when an individual dies young, often it's pathological. It's not natural usually. So
something kills them. They don't just
exactly. Yeah. So Veronica was scanned before in the 90s, but her scan came out kind of wasn't very good, and so that's why they're rescanning her. And then Johannes has never been scanned before, so that one it'll be interesting to see what they can find or what they see inside. So once you scan it, you can then see the internal structure, and whatever's present, it may give you some insight into what potentially this individual is dealing with when they're living.
So what got you into this gruesome world of looking at dead bodies here? That's not something most little kids say, I want to grow up and do.
No, I initially wanted to be an archaeologist, and so then I ended up getting involved in research in the biological anthropology world and then into the mummy research. And so from the mummy research, then I started doing a lot of the CT imaging research, and then it got me into this anatomy type work, and so that's why I teach human anatomy and physiology and work with cadavers, which are basically a type of mummy. It's just different.
Recently deceased people, right.
Recently deceased, yep.
Exactly. Yep. All right, and I have to ask, because I know people listening, we watch all these silly Jurassic Park movies here. Will they ever resuscitate the dead? Is Frankenstein a fiction, or is this something will they be able to take DNA and recreate animals that are long since gone? Or what do you think about all this? Is that just sensationalism?
I haven't read much, but I know they're doing work in trying to recreate some of these old species, like the passenger pigeon.
Yeah, right.
Passenger pigeon, stuff like that. I guess I haven't read into how
somehow they extract the DNA and they inject it into a living pigeon or something and try and create some version of what was long since gone.
Yeah, and I haven't read into exactly how far along.
And I know they do preserve lots of not just for people but plants and other things. There are places around the world where they've preserved DNA samples of all sorts of things that aren't here anymore, in the hope that someday they can not just learn from them but somehow find a way to use that DNA to grow them again. We're going to come back to life like the mummies in the movies here? No.
Oh, no.
I don't have to worry that because the mummies are here, they're going to start wandering through the streets like The Walking Dead or something here.
No.
All right. Well, fascinating stuff. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us to explain it a little clearer here. Do we know how long it's going to be? I think they kind of leave it as sort of an indefinite run. It won't be here forever, but it's there now.
I think it's six and a half months. So I think...
So they got some time to go see this here.
Yeah.
And you can call over to the Bowers Museum. I don't know what the tickets cost, but it can't be that expensive. And it certainly is a rare chance. I saw the Dead Sea Scrolls there, part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's what I saw, which was fascinating too. Things that you just wouldn't ever come in physical contact with otherwise. So check it out, Mummies of the World exhibition. It just arrived in the middle of March. It'll be there for a couple months, we think, here at the Bowers Museum over in Santa Ana. You can go Google the Bowers Museum if you want to know more, or send us an email here at OC Talk Radio, and we'll forward it on and tell them more. In fact, I think we're going to get some copies, or we're going to get some tickets that we're going to give away. So if you're interested, stay tuned, and we'll probably give them away on social media sites and whatnot. Thank you so much. Any final words, any thoughts? What do you say to your parents when you get together, or your family when you get together at Thanksgiving? Do they all want to talk about mummies, or do they think you're crazy here?
No, they avoid that.
They avoid that subject. Let's talk about the Vikings or the Steelers.
Yeah.
Anything but the mummies here. All right, thank you so much for joining us here today on this interesting OC Spotlight. Where are you at? You're up in Wisconsin right now?
Yep, Wisconsin, yep.
Okay, all right, go Packers.
Yeah.
All right, thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
You've been listening to another example of the OC Spotlight, the only place where we get to shine a light on the most amazing people doing the most incredible things right here in your own backyard. Brought to you by Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.